Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, I'm Kim Wardlow. I'm your host for NLVL. We're beginning a new month, and this month we're talking about emergency preparedness and different aspects of that. So both within your home, outside of your home, just trying to be as prepared as you can. There's always those unexpected things that happen, but to be prepared when it's possible. And so today, and actually for the today and next, the next episode as well, I'm going to be joined by Liz Botner, who is an accessibility advocate and assistive technology specialist dedicated to empowering people with low vision. Through her personal experiences and expertise, she promotes inclusive solutions, especially in emergency preparedness. Liz is known for her practical advice and commitment to helping others navigate life with greater confidence and independence. Liz, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, let's just dive right in. Liz, can you share a bit about why emergency preparedness is so important, especially in the low vision community or folks with perhaps with other types of disabilities that they are dealing with and maybe needing some extra thought or extra things packed in your to-go bag, but extra things if you're in that low vision community and you're trying to be prepared for an emergency.
Absolutely. I first want to say that being prepared as much as you can for an emergency is important no matter who you are and no matter where you are, whether you have a disability that you identify with or not. Having a disability allows for different aspects of the preparedness that may not be applicable if you don't have a disability. But I just want to first assert that this conversation is applicable to anyone and everyone.
Definitely. Everyone needs to be prepared and think about these things, especially it seems like, at least here in Colorado, we are seeing more frequent fires and more cases where that preparedness is very useful and necessary.
Yes. Also, I also want to mention that the idea of being prepared is just an idea, and you can never be fully prepared. And mm-hmm. part of being prepared is being open to the fact that, oh my gosh, maybe I wasn't as prepared as I thought because I forgot this certain aspect of something that only came up because of this particular emergency that's happening right now. That is mm-hmm. okay. But there are definitely things that we as people who identify as blind or who have low vision, there are definitely things that we need to take into consideration. And some of those things are having different papers that we might need to take with us, whether it's lists of doctor's offices or medications in an accessible format, whether that's in print, large print, braille, on a digital recorder, on a voice memo on your phone, something that we can just quickly access and have with us. And just even having an extra battery or maybe more than one extra battery in your go bag, because as people who identify as having vision loss, technology is usually a really important thing that we need to function in everyday life. And so having extra battery chargers for that, for the emergency situations, is definitely a helpful thing.
Definitely. Do you remember the first time you needed to use your emergency preparedness kit, or maybe you realized, wow, I wish I had an emergency preparedness kit because I need to evacuate, or you were dealing with an emergency?
There have definitely been times when I have been stranded out in the elements because of rideshare denials. Unfortunately, with my guide dog, that happens far too often. And so I have been in situations. Fortunately, I've had my gloves and my hat and my scarf as needed, but there were definitely times where I, even with those on, was very, very cold and wishing that I had somewhere else to go, but the business that I had just vacated was not able to be re-entered. And so I had to just stand out in the cold, and my dog at the time, it was usually never a huge fan after about 20 minutes of standing in the freezing cold. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I don't blame the dog for that. And let's spend a few minutes talking about preparing your home for emergencies. So are there things you can do in your home, or how you're organizing your supplies and your emergency supplies to make it more accessible and easy to find, easy to use, maybe easy if emergency workers are needing to come into your home?
Absolutely. If you have the ability to put things into a bag or several bags, you may have several bags depending on the emergency situation type or who's maybe with you at the time. Maybe you have family members and you have one bag for if you have family members home with you at the time, and maybe a separate bag for if you're by yourself. And so having things in one area that you can quickly access, and that if emergency personnel need to come into your home, that they can quickly access, and making sure that you have on the handle of the bag or somewhere in the bag in the line of sight, as it were, on the top of it, maybe in addition to having a tag on the handle that maybe says your name and, you know, what the bag is, and having it in print and in Braille, if that's what you if you read Braille, or even maybe you have a way to, with your smartphone, if you use something like the way around system, and you can put a label sticker on the tag that has your recorded label, so that you can with your smartphone look at that tag and know what it is, but have a way that you yourself can identify that bag, and that also that bag can be identified by emergency personnel. Also, with your technology, if you have something like a smartphone or a smartwatch, making sure that, and people don't think about this maybe, and I sometimes don't think about this, but especially on your smartwatch, having the screen curtain set to off. That way, if emergency personnel need to use the watch to find your emergency contact and have that set up as well, if you can, they can access your watch and or your phone and be able to get that information. Because with the screen curtain on, the person who is sighted may have no idea how to access your phone, and that is a fair point. In terms of organizing things in your home, just having a set spot for where you put your go bags for your emergencies. It's not necessarily a thing in your home that you can do, but having a set time every quarter possibly, or a set time that works for you to even go through the contents in your go bags and make sure that you don't have expired items, expired food, expired medications, things like that. That's also very important.
Yeah, it's not just a one and done.
It is not.
You have to keep keep reviewing it.
Yes.
And the things that you might want to have in that bag could change over time as well. If you
absolutely, and that is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but you may find that you forgot something in your bag. That is mm-hmm. also okay. Giving yourself grace is, I think, one of the most important things, well, ever, in any situation, but especially in an emergency situation. You won't think of everything, and that is okay.
I think it's hard to think of everything, and sometimes you think of it in the moment, in the situation. You mentioned a few things earlier, like extra backup batteries, things like that, that folks should be sure to think about. Probably be sure that they're charged, preferably.
Yes. Or at least one of them.
Yeah,
if possible. And again, that takes work as well, right? Because you have to go and look at them every now and then to make sure they're charged. So mm-hmm. don't just put your battery in there and think that, you know, years, months down the line, it will hold its charge. It probably won't.
Right.
It's also useful to maybe have something that doesn't need a charge. They do have radios out there that you can use that have cranks, and you crank them mm-hmm. and they have juice. And I don't actually know how they get the juice at the moment. I'm blanking on how that actually works, but I do know that that is something that does exist, and it's for emergencies. So it's not relying on power.
Right.
Or maybe it's, and some of them, I'm sure probably there's solar panels involved as well. You know, like there's solar technology.
Yeah, there probably are. I know we have one at home that has a crank on it. It's small, and we've had it for so long. And I don't think we've ever had to use it in an emergency, but we do have it in case the electricity went out and we were trying to have access to the outside world. So yeah, sometimes that's a good thing to have.
Yes.
Yeah. I know we have, because my husband used to work for the telephone company. We actually still have, and we still have a landline because of that. And two, we still have a phone that's not, not one that's on a battery, you know, that's like where you have several extensions and you need electricity for them to be charged and working. So we still have like one really old fashioned phone. But that's my husband, you know, thinking, well, but what if we have no electricity for a really long time? How will we communicate? So,
yeah.
I don't know. We might not be able to reach anybody else because probably not very many people still have the old technology. But
fortunately, a lot of businesses do, so you could reach those.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And even having a list in your go bag of local applicable businesses or emergency, fire state, the local fire station, the local police station, things like that, so that you can readily access it in the format that you are most apt to go to quickly, whether that's Braille or large print or just something. And I would even say try to have it in a format that is not a digital format, because in the heat of the moment, you might need something that isn't digital because maybe your phone isn't charged. So,
mm-hmm. Or having options if you have it electronically as well.
And having a network of people, even if you live on your own, and maybe don't know a lot of your neighbors that well, just having someone who you can call and get in touch with and say, this is happening right now, even if they can't do anything physically because they're not there in your geographic vicinity, they at least can be held accountable to know that you're where you are and if you're safe or not. And if you're not, they may be able to help you remotely to identify a plan to get from an unsafe situation to a safer situation.
Mm-hmm. Are there other items that you would recommend folks put in their emergency bag?
If you have guide dogs or pets, making sure that you have maybe one or two meals for them in your go bag. Maybe a favorite toy, something that's, you know, small enough that it's not going to be taking up that much room, but something that in a pinch would give them comfort in, mm-hmm. in a stressful situation.
I know we've mentioned medications, food, lists of important contacts or services that you use. Are there other things? I think people sometimes struggle with, what are the important things? You need your wallet, and if you have a passport, important documents. But just in terms of maybe a personal item or items, because you really don't want to take too much.
You don't. But I mean, I would just say one thing you might want to take, obviously including the personal documents and things like that. Maybe one small item that maybe it's a stress ball or something that can offer you some kind of a relief from the stress of the emergency. So something that is meaningful, but not so big that it will take up the whole room in your bag.
Right.
Because that's also important, is that you feel that you have some sort of an outlet, I think, to, have your, just to not focus on the stress of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even, of course, if you have your phone or other devices, there might be other devices that you would want to take as well, just so if you were in an emergency shelter, you could listen to a book or something like that.
Yes. But within reason. You don't want to take mm-hmm. every device that you own, right? So you may want to prioritize, what devices do I really need, and take the ones that are going to take up less room in your bag. But absolutely, and especially the blindness-related assistive technology devices, those really can't be replaced as easily. And so it does make sense why you might want to make sure that those are of a higher priority in your bag than say something else that would be replaceable. But don't replace them over having food and water and your important documents and other things like that. Mm-hmm. And don't replace them over yourself, because that's also important. That's right. The most important thing in this whole conversation.
And if you're checking your bag, say, quarterly, do you change items like a scarf and gloves or a raincoat, those types of things, to change those out? Because it seems you wouldn't want all those things all the time. If you were dealing with an emergency in the summertime, you may not be wanting your gloves and your heavier items for warmth.
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to preparing different bags for emergencies, for different situations, weather being one of them.
What would you recommend for someone who maybe they've just moved to a location recently and they don't have a circle, a friendship, or that support network built in place? Ways to reach out or have something built in case of emergency.
One thing I would recommend is, if you are renting from a place, speak with your landlord or someone maybe in your building that you are comfortable with, and ask them if they have, what the recommendations are or what is around in terms of, mm-hmm. Agencies or the local fire station or things like that. If you're able to get on the internet and do a search for those things, definitely do that. There are local chapters a lot of times of both the blindness consumer organizations, the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind. So tapping into those is definitely a good resource, not just for emergency preparedness, but that is definitely a reason that would be applicable to tap into them. And reaching out, if you can locate the local blindness service agency in your area and contacting them, even if it's not to open a case, it may just be to ask them, hey, even if it is not to open up a case, you may just ask them what recommendations they have for being aware of how of what agencies or things to be aware of are in your general area related to emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
They may even offer classes in that sometimes. So,
right, and, I and have
workshops
seen that
in emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that as well.
If you have emergency responders coming into your home, do you have advice on interacting with them? Obviously, they may not realize you're blind or you have low vision or you have a guide dog or those types of things. Just trying to communicate that with them, you know, what your needs are. Because it's, if they say, come this way, that's not really going to be helpful to you.
One option is to call the first responders when there isn't an emergency and self-disclose that you are living at your residence and identify as having low vision or that you're blind and that you do have a guide dog, and that can be put into the notes that will be pulled up when that location is seen on the dispatch screen, if a call needs to be placed from that location, and then there is that awareness before the responders even get to you.
Yeah, I think that's such a good idea and important, because you definitely don't want to be separated from your guide dog or service animal in an emergency situation.
You can also, if you do have a smartphone or a smartwatch or some sort of technology like that, you can put that information into your phone or your watch, so that when the emergency medical ID or whatever the equivalent might mm-hmm. be called, and so the first responders will see notes like that when they look at your watch or your phone.
Mm-hmm. Liz, is there anything else that you think of that you would like to recommend to our listeners? Is there, preparing, putting together a bag, putting together a plan, even maybe an evacuation plan from their home if there is a fire or something like that?
Just taking the step and doing it and putting a plan together, whether that's you yourself doing it on your own, or reaching out if you need help and finding the people that can help you do that. If you do live with family members, definitely, hopefully you can involve them. And reviewing that plan every so often, and even on a consistent basis. And it's hoped that you never need it, but at least mm-hmm. if you do need it, you will be familiar with what it is. And as I mentioned before, making sure that your go bags that you have, and yes, preparing them and making sure that they have updated items that aren't expired. That would make the emergency even worse.
Right.
Especially with medications. And there may be some medications that you are unable to order ahead of time. And, mm-hmm. and that's just the nature of those medications. But any medications that you can, it might be worth having the conversation with your doctor and explaining why you're asking and seeing what they say.
Yeah, it never hurts to ask.
But the most important thing really and truly is to give yourself grace and be open to the fact that you may not be fully prepared. I don't know that you can ever be fully prepared. I would venture to say that you cannot, but that is also okay.
I would agree with you. But that's where flexibility comes in, because
yes,
the nature of it being an emergency situation is that it's not necessarily and probably won't go to plan, but the plan at least helps.
I do feel like you can also over-prepare, and that isn't necessarily helpful either. So it's striking a balance between making sure that you have the essential things and kind of thinking about it as if, okay, in an emergency situation, whatever it might be, what are the things that I absolutely would need? And especially, what are the things that may not be as easily replaced? And make sure you have those. There are some things that you can absolutely get in a situation once you're safe, and mm-hmm. that are not as imperative as the things that you can't as easily get, like your important documents, or maybe your your assistive technology devices that you use more often than others. So, but as I also said, the most important thing is yourself and making sure that you are safe. And you may have to evacuate and not take everything that you would normally take in an emergency that you prepared for. And that is also okay. So you may have to even slim down the plan and the go bag in the time that you have. It may be mere minutes or mere seconds, but you know, the most important thing is you and making sure you're safe.
Definitely. And just building in some flexibility, grace and flexibility.
Absolutely.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for talking with us today and going over some of the things that we should be thinking about as we're preparing for an emergency, preparing our to-go bags, maybe more than one if we have family members, making sure we have anything we need for service animals or even pets. If you're able to, obviously you would want to take your pet with you if at all possible. Maybe not a big fish tank or something like that, but dogs, cats, those kinds of pets. And just thinking that out so you're taking anything that's hard to replace or irreplaceable, like some documents that could be very hard to replace with you.
And with pets, you may not be able to take them with you depending on where you're going. And right. So part of that emergency plan might be identifying plan A, obviously, yes, is I would like to take my pet with me and that's what's happening. But plan B might be, okay, where can I make sure that my pet can go so that it's safe and well cared for? So that may take a little extra work, but it's also worth it. So that's another consideration, I think, to add.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. So you'll be joining me again for our next episode, and we'll be talking about, we'll be moving from inside our home to when emergency occurs and you are away from home, and how you can prepare at least as best you can for those things that happen outside of your home as well. Thank you all for listening. We hope that this information spurs you, inspires you to prepare your emergency bag and do some preparedness so that if you are faced with an emergency situation, that you can get out, you and your loved ones, and hopefully, certainly service animals, but hopefully any pets too, can all get out safely and get to a safe location. So thank you, Liz, again, for this information for in-home. Next time we'll be talking about out of the home, and we hope that all of this advice and information helps you navigate your life with vision loss.